I have a few apologies to make before I commence. Number one, you will notice that this morning you have no notes given out. The reason is, being a retired person, I forget what is happening outside me and outside my home. That yesterday was a holiday, and therefore I could not have access to photocopying. The shops being closed. Never mind, I'll make up for it when I come back next week and I continue with the subject that I'm going to speak on afterwards. Secondly, I need to apologize too for those who have gone into my website to find out what I will be speaking on this morning. I'm supposed to speak on the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 1. But I'm not going to do it, because last week, as I thought over what I was going to say this morning and the next Sunday, the thought of our sister Yiling already announced here that she would be going out to serve the Lord in Kazakhstan by the end of the year. I thought that it would be time for me to give a message that would be suitable for her, for the leaders in the assembly here, and for the members, so that we would know what it implies when the Holy Spirit calls out a person to go out and serve him in the field outside. So this morning and the next Sunday, I will be speaking on the Holy Spirit's role in missions and what the Holy Spirit does in missions with regard to the mission call, with regard to the mission field, with regard to all aspects of the mission. Now, I may not have time to cover everything, but I will try my best to cover the basics. And this morning, I will start with the basics. The very basics that you and I must remember, that our sister Yiling must remember when she goes out into the field. I'm very glad when I heard of the news which was relayed to me earlier that she would be coming out to serve the Lord. I'm glad because it means that with her coming out, the assemblies in the island of Penang have now at least one member of their assemblies commanded to serve the Lord. It started with me actually in 1996 in October when I was commanded to serve the Lord. The assemblies here in Penang have a history of nearly 140 years. And for the 140 years, there was not a single person ever commanded by any assembly out to serve the Lord. And I was the first one to be commanded. And of course, the leaders would not know what to do and so on. And there were certain shortcomings, which I hope will be corrected as we study what is meant by commendation this week and in the week to come, especially next week. This means that Balmoral Gospel Hall now, after me, there came out Chan Mei Lai to go to Indonesia, and then after that you have Alan Glitz, Annie Koo going to Cambodia, Mr. Daniel commanded by Sungai Nibong to Taipei, and soon Sungai Ara, the baby assembly on the island, to commend another sister to Kazakhstan. I'm very, very happy. I'm very, very happy that we see now more being called for service unto the Lord in the mission fields. Now, as we send people out into the mission fields, and yes, there's another thing which rejoices me very much, that those people who went with me for mission trips, a few of them have now come out to serve the Lord in this way. Mei Lai was with me to India. was with me in Seoul, in Cambodia. And then our sister Yiling was with me this beginning of this year, end of last year, in India. So all those who came with me have now come out. Some of the people who came with me for mission trips have now come out to serve the Lord. This is very, very encouraging indeed. And therefore, it needs to lay down the foundations for those people who are called out to serve, as well as for those who are called to remain behind. I hope you are called to remain behind, not just because you choose to remain behind. You are called to remain behind to support missions. And the most important part in missions is, and the most important person to play his role in missions is the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, there can be no missions. And let me therefore start, because my time is taken up quite a bit already, by way of introduction, to go into the Great Commission again. And then from there, to lead us to see the role and the responsibility of the Spirit in the missions. So let us look at Mark chapter 16. Let's get some pointers first with regard to the Lord's Great Commission. Mark chapter 16. Now in Mark chapter 16, we have this commission. Verse 15, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. I would understand therefore that those who are now going out for missions would be in obedience to this great commission that they go out. Now it says there, go ye into all the world. At that time perhaps the world might just be as far as Rome. But the very fact that is mentioned, preach the gospel to every creature, would embrace everyone in the world and not just to the world, but to Rome as such. And please note also that you are to go and to preach. Preach the gospel. And what is the gospel? The gospel is of course regard to the Lord Jesus Christ. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Now, let us not be mistaken. It does not say that unless you are baptized, you are saved. Although it says that he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Because to be unsaved or to be damned, to be condemned, to be lost is just not to believe. Not to believe and not to be baptized. Because it is envisaged that a person who has believed, naturally, he must be baptized. There's no such thing as an unbaptized Christian. In fact, this announcement this morning perhaps should not have been made. Because it is expected that if you are Christian and you come here, you must be baptized. There's no such thing as an unbaptized Christian. Let's look at another parallel passage, Matthew chapter 28. For the Great Commission. Matthew 28. I need to bring up all these basics, because when a person goes out into the mission fields, these are the things he must believe in. These are the things he must teach, and these are the things he must practice. Chapter 28 and verse 19. Go you therefore and teach all nations. Just now it was preach the gospel. Preach. Don't forget that in your going out to the mission field, you must also teach. Teach all nations, again, it is the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. No, please, baptism comes in again. Baptism comes into the teaching, that when a person believes, he must be baptized. She must be baptized. It is very important. And then it goes on to say, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And now comes here an additional point, the promise. Lo, I am with you always. The Lord Jesus Christ will be with them always. Alright? Now comes the point that I am going to say or to study with in this morning's study. That will be the Holy Spirit's role in missions. Luke chapter 24. Just as the Lord Jesus Christ was about to leave the disciples and to ascend into heaven, he said this in verse 49, chapter 24 and verse 49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Please note, with regard to missions, do not go out until you have the promise of the Father. And when you have the promise of the Father, then you will be endued with power from on high. Then go out. What is this promise of the Father? So, let us deal with three things. Since you have no notes, I'll give you the three main headings. Actually, I hope that I have time to deal with the two big headings. The reception of the Spirit in missions, A. B. The responsibility of the Spirit in missions. And then under A, the reception of the Spirit in missions, will be three subheadings. They are the promise of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, and the presence of the Spirit. So let's deal with the promise of the Spirit. The promise of the Spirit is defined in the term the promise of the Father. Now Luke continues from Luke chapter 24 in Acts chapter 1 to mention more about the promise of the Father. What is this promise of the Father? Chapter 1 and verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, here it is again, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, said he, you have heard from me. Wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard from me, from the Lord Jesus Christ. What is this promise of the Father? And why must they wait in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father is given? Now, we know for a fact that about 10 days later, in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost. And that gave birth to the church. And it's to the church now this great commission is given. Go into all the world. It is to the church now. And the world, the church can go now because the Holy Spirit is given to the church. Then the Holy Spirit will infill the church and the Holy Spirit will empower the church, and the church can now go off to preach the gospel to every creature. No wonder Peter, who denied the Lord Jesus Christ, who was so afraid and timid, he became so very bold, being empowered by the Holy Spirit, that he gave his first sermon in Acts chapter 2 and verse 14. He stood up boldly to preach the sermon, and he scolded the people of the Judea and those Jews for crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we read, as a result of that first sermon, we see the fruits. In verse 41, 3,000 souls were saved as a result of that first sermon. And what was his preaching? His preaching was in verse 38, the summary of his preaching. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Repent and be baptized. That was for the Jews. Then he preached a second sermon, just later on. And as a result, we read that in chapter 4 and verse 4, 4,000 souls were saved. 3,000 souls were saved. 4,000 souls were saved. This was the result of the Holy Spirit in missions. Now let us go back to the promise of the Spirit, which is mentioned as the promise of the Father, of which the Lord Jesus Christ had mentioned. What is this promise of the Father? We have to go back to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, the promise of the Father. Now in John chapter 14 and verse 16, the Lord said, 14 verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Ah, here it is. The promise of the Father is that the Lord Jesus Christ will send the Holy Spirit, and he will abide with them forever. That is the difference. in the past, up to the time when the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to the disciples, the Holy Spirit was not in the, His people forever. He abode with them. He stayed with them. He lived with them. But not forever. But from now onwards, after the endowment of power in Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit would indwell every person forever. And that's what He said, in verse 17. Very strange words. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but you know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and He shall be in you. He dwelleth with you, but He shall be in you. Now He dwelleth with you, and He was referring to the disciples. And these disciples have not been to Jerusalem to wait for the endowment of power from the Holy Spirit. Until such time, the Holy Spirit would be with them. But then later, the Holy Spirit would be in them. Please note the future tense there. It's very important. He dwelleth with you, but He shall be in you. After you have waited for the endowment of power from on high in Jerusalem. You see, up to this time, the Old Testament, or you would like, the Old Dispensation, under the law, the Holy Spirit was there, moving among the people, but He never indwelt them. He was never in them forever. He was with them. So much so, that Samson, the Holy Spirit descended upon him, and the Holy Spirit left him later on when he disobeyed God. So much so that Saul had the Spirit descending upon him, but later on the Spirit left him when he was disobedient to God. So much so that when David sinned in the sin of Bathsheba, David wrote in Psalm 51, "Take not thy Spirit from me." This is never the prayer of any believer. Take not your Spirit from me. Because the Holy Spirit indwells every single one of you who has believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will never pray, and you should never pray, "Take not your Spirit from me." Because the Spirit can never be taken away from you. The Spirit indwells you and is in you forever. And this is a fundamental truth. Everyone who goes into the mission field must know, so that the right teaching is given. And so we find that verse 20, "At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and in me, and I in you. In the same way as the Holy Spirit is in you and in me, it is the same way as I am in my Father, and my Father in me." Alright, so the gift of the Holy Spirit has to do with Him coming to indwell us forever. But not only to abide in us forever, but also to assist us. Look at verse 25. "These things have I spoken unto you, being present with you." Verse 26, "But the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance." He will teach. Now, go you and teach all nations. You are not going to do it in your own power. You are going to do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. He will teach you. He will assist you. And that's why comes forth this great commission repeated in different words. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. It's still the Great Commission. Verse 8. "But you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me." You shall receive power. You shall be witnesses. The Holy Spirit does not only come to indwell the person. The Holy Spirit comes to give him power and to witness. And that is the duty of everyone who obeys the commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. That he will be witness. Witness to the Father, witness to the Son, witness to the Spirit. Witness. So the gift of the Father is the gift of the Holy Spirit to abide in every believer forever, to assist the believer in witnessing for him. Next, let's go on to the power of the Holy Spirit. We have finished with the promise of the Spirit, now the power of the Holy Spirit. It says that you will receive power. Let's go back to John again, chapter 16. Why is there necessity for the Spirit to come and indwell? Because the Lord Jesus Christ is going away. Then John chapter 16 and verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I send him unto you. And so, it is to take the place of the physical absence of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ will soon go away physically. And it is good that he does so. Because if he is still on earth physically, his movements will be limited. His geographical space will be limited. He can move around freely. But when he goes away, he will send his Spirit to indwell every believer. And every believer in the world will have the influence of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is why he has the power. And that's why the power of the Holy Spirit is very important. When the person goes out into the mission field, he must not feel that he is going out in his own power. When he's going out with the idea that he is all sufficient, that he is very talented, that he is very gifted, and he does not depend on the Holy Spirit, that is disaster. More about that as we consider the presence of the Holy Spirit as we go on. Thirdly, the presence of the Spirit. The Spirit is to be with us all, everywhere we go. Why? Well, one, to guide us. Two, to help us in the going. Let's take the first point, to guide us. Chapter 16 and verse 13. Nevertheless, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. The Holy Spirit is there to guide us into all truth. Now remember, the great confusion is that we must teach all things. All things. And therefore, the Holy Spirit is there to lead us into all truth. And we must depend upon the Holy Spirit to guide us, to lead us into all truth, and in that way, to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, as you find in verse 14. Alright? So, the person who goes out into the mission field must feel the great necessity to depend upon the Holy Spirit. Not to go out in his own ability, but to go out with the full endowment and power of the Holy Spirit. Now, we come on to the next point. Not only the Holy Spirit is there to guide us, but to help us to go out into the world and preach. Go and teach. So the Holy Spirit must be there to help us to go. Now let's go back to Acts 1:8 and see how we are to go. It's clearly defined for us. Acts 1:8. When you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me. You will be witnesses. You will go, and everywhere you go, you will be a witness. How does it start? It starts in Jerusalem. It must start in Jerusalem. Now it means that the person who goes out must have that experience of witnessing at home. Jerusalem means home ground. Home ground. He must be able to witness to the people, the members of the family first, at home. Now, I did not say that he must be able to witness to the members of the family and see the members of the family saved. Father saved, mother saved, brother saved, sister saved. No, I don't say that. I say that he must witness. Witness by his talk. Witness by his walk. The people must know that he's a Christian. And from Jerusalem, he must go to Judea, the neighborhood, in the office, in the school, in the place of work, everywhere around him. They must know he is a Christian. Because if they do not know he is a Christian, even at home or in the neighborhood, how can the people outside ever know, get to know him as a Christian who will witness? The work of salvation is the work of the Holy Spirit, as we shall find out later on. But the work of witnessing is your responsibility. Witness by your work, by your walk, by your talk, and by your work. Now, let's go on. From Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria. Oh, you must go to Samaria. But let us look what the Lord Jesus Christ said to the disciples when he appointed the 12 to go out. Let's look at Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. The Lord Jesus Christ appointed 12 people to be his disciples. And then he also gave them a commission. Not the great commission per se. He gave them a commission. And he asked them to go. And verse 5. Chapter 10 of Matthew, verse 5. He said, go. But he says, go not. That's the difference. Go, but do not go. What do I mean? He says there in verse 5. Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Go! Don't go to the Gentiles. Don't go to the Samaritans. Go! Why? Why? Why don't go to the Gentiles? Why don't go to the Samaritans? And yet in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth, the Gentiles. But in his first commission to the disciples, do not go to the Gentiles. Do not go to the Samaritans. Why? Because the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. John chapter 4 in verse 9. John chapter 4 in verse 9. Jews and Gentiles, Jews and Samaritans had no dealings. In fact, if a Jew, perhaps you can look at it. Keep your finger to Matthew chapter 10, we are coming back. John chapter 4. The Lord Jesus Christ was in Judea. And he will be going, he wants to go to Samaria. He wants to go to Galilee. John chapter 4. Chapter 4. And verse 4. Verse 3 for connection. He left Judea and departed again to Galilee. Judea will be in the south, directly south of Galilee. Galilee in the north. No Jew would ever travel in a straight line from Judea to Galilee. No Jew would do it, because in between Judea and Galilee would be Samaria. No, they would never soil their feet with treading the earth, the dust from Samaria. They would go sideways. They would even cross River Jordan from one side, pass on the other side of Samaria, and then go back in order to go to Galilee. The Jews have no dealings with the Samaria. And the Lord Jesus said to the 12 disciples, don't go to the Samaritans. No go. But yet, at this time, the Lord said, I must go through Samaria. Verse 4. He must needs go through Samaria. So he will go straight. Why? Because there was one woman who needed to be saved. We come back to this later on. Let's go back to the commission of the disciples, to the disciples. Matthew chapter 10. And he said, don't go to Samaria, don't go to the Gentiles, go to Israel first. Because it was to Israel that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, would come. It was prophesied in the Old Testament that the Messiah would come to save Israel. And the gist of the preaching to Israel was this. Verse 7. Go, preach. Please note, say, go, preach. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. All. Please note. To the Jews, the essence of the preaching was the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It was pointed out this morning. There's a great difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. And that's why John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, later on, when the people, the Jews, the scribes, the Pharisees, rejected the kingdom of God, then the kingdom of God was taken away to be given to another people. Matthew 21, that we read this morning. But the kingdom of heaven would be a mixture of sin, of believers and unbelievers together. A mixture. And that's why you have the parable of the kingdom, the parables of the kingdom of heaven in Matthew chapter 13, where you read of in the kingdom of heaven there will be tares and there will be wheat and so on. Those saved as well as unsaved. But in the kingdom of God, we shall see that those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who exercise genuine faith, those people refused the genuine faith to be exercised in the Lord Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God was taken away from them and given to us, the church. And so we see here, the preaching was, go, preach, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But they refused, they rejected the cornerstone. The stone that was supposed to be the cornerstone was rejected. And as a result, it became a stumbling stone to them. And so we find that the Jews were put aside. And that God now deals with the new people. Unto a new people, the kingdom of God was given. And that's why Matthew, Acts chapter 2, we read that the church was formed. The new people. And they are to go out to preach the kingdom of God. And we all of us become witnesses to these great truths. So, that would be Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. We are to go out to all the world to preach the gospel, to fulfill the commission of the Lord Jesus Christ, to go into all the world. So, that roughly gives us one. We need to receive the Holy Spirit in us and to wait for Him to work Himself through us. Now, you can spare me 4 minutes, 5 minutes, I'll go through quickly. Alright. 10 minutes. I finished with the promise of the Spirit with regard to the reception of the Spirit in missions, with regard to the promise of the Spirit, with regard to the power of the Spirit, with regard to the promise or the presence of the Spirit. Now we come on to the second point, and it's a very important point, and that will be the responsibilities or ministries of the Spirit in missions. Now, the Holy Spirit has a definite work to do in missions. And we must never, never usurp that work of His for ourselves. What is His work? There is a fourfold ministry. I won't develop it. I just go through very quickly. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Firstly, is the work of conviction. Chapter 14. And verse... Chapter 16, verse 8. When He is come, He will reprove, or He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Alright? This will be His threefold work. When He is come, He will convict the world of righteousness, of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Well, very quickly, of sin, the conviction of sin. Please remember, the conviction of sin is the work of the Holy Spirit. It is not your work, it is not my work. Your work and my work is to witness, lay the facts down, and tell the person concerned, you are a sinner, you are a sinner. And it's the Holy Spirit that convicts the person. Lay the facts before the person. Why? It says there in verse 9, because they believe not on me. We cannot run away from the fact that we must tell the person concerned, you are a sinner, and the greatest sin is to not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the greatest sin. Don't run away from any other thing. Don't try to preach the gospel by any other way. Don't substitute other means and other topics and other attractive means to draw a person to become a Christian. You must bring before him, he's a sinner. And the greatest sin is he rejects the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, the Holy Spirit not only convicts of sin, but of righteousness. And why? Because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Lay the facts before them. That Jesus Christ, who died for them, is a righteous person. He died, he was buried, he rose again, and he goes to the Father. He is now with the Father. Why? Because he is righteous. He is not a good leader. He is not just a good Christian, a religious leader. He is not a good man alone. He is righteous. There is none righteous, though not one in this world. He is righteous, the only one righteous, and he has gone to be with the Father in heaven. That fact must be witnessed to, that they cannot accept any other except Jesus Christ. Third, judgment. That the prince of this world is already judged. The very fact that Lord Jesus Christ dies, is buried, and rises again, shows that the devil has been judged. Because it is appointed unto men once to die, but after death, the judgment. Everyone must die, but the Lord Jesus Christ died and rose again. And so this fact must be introduced. That if you do not want to believe in Jesus, you too will be judged as with the devil who has been judged. This is the conviction. So what I'm trying to say is this. Your role in missions is to witness, not to convict. The conviction is in the hands of the Holy Spirit. If a person, having heard the facts, and does not want to commit, that his problem with the Holy Spirit, not your problem. Your problem is that you lay the facts down, witness. Second role, second ministry of the Holy Spirit, and that is conversion. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And John 3, verse 5. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The work of salvation is not yours. It is not yours to go and save people. It's yours to witness. It's not yours to see, oh, so many people have been saved. And then, in order to see this fruit so-called, this saved fruits, you manipulate with the statistics. Oh, when I preached that morning, so many people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And you put down in your newsletter, so many have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I go and visit you in your station, and find that hardly of the 100 you have testified have come to know the Lord, not even 2 or 3 are left behind. Don't play with statistics. Your duty is just to preach, to teach, to witness. Let the Holy Spirit do the work of salvation. Salvation is the work of the Holy Spirit. Salvation is born by water. Water is the water of the Word. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. The water of the Word. Do not water down the gospel message. Do not water down the gospel message and try to water down the fact that person must, as a sinner, a person must believe in Christ and Christ only, and that if he does not so, he will be judged. Don't water down that message. Just to get people to be convicted, just to get people to be saved, because that is not your work. It's the Holy Spirit's work. Alright? Third is the idea of confirmation. In Ephesians 1:13, we are told that when we are saved, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. The person must be given the assurance. that when the person believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell him. The Holy Spirit comes to stay in him forever. And the Spirit puts his seal upon him. And he cannot be lost if he has exercised his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That assurance must be given to him that the Spirit, once having come into his life or her life, cannot leave her again, because he is sent to come and dwell with you forever. And lastly, we have the ministry, the Holy Spirit's ministry of conviction, of conversion, of confirmation, and lastly, consecration. Consecration. The person must be told that it is not just salvation that is enough. That, oh, I'm saved, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is not enough. The message by Paul to the Philippian jailer was, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He must be proclaimed as Lord. Romans 10 and 9 says very clearly, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, thou shalt be saved. Jesus as Lord, thou shalt be saved. Salvation demands a person to commit his life to the Lord. And the faithful missioner of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, the witness, must testify to this, that once you are saved, you must go on to surrender your life to the Lord, to commit your life to the Lord for service. And not just to stop there and say, oh, I'm happy, I'm saved, now I can live my own life. That is not the essence of the Christian message. And so this morning is just to remind the fundamentals of mission service, that when a person goes out and to witness to the people around, he must keep in mind these very important fundamentals. And don't usurp the ministry of the Holy Spirit for yourself. Be faithful. Fruits will come. But be faithful to what you have to witness. May the Lord bless all of us here and all of you here who are not going out but who stay behind, that you will be reminded of this, of these fundamentals in missions. The next Sunday, hopefully, I will speak on the mission call of the person, how you are called, how you can be sure, and what the church must do in the commendation of you to go out, and what are your responsibilities. The Lord bless you.